morning.
Good to see you out this rainy morning. It's also good to have our visitors. We always welcome you back. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 24. The title of the lesson is, Who is Blessed? From God's viewpoint, who's going to be blessed? People who can see spiritual realities, number one. Number two, those who do the will of God. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 20, we need to learn to rejoice in the right things. And as Jesus begins to expand his ministry, verse 17, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Jesus sends out 70 to preach and teach. He gives them the authority to cast out demons. And they've been casting out demons. And Jesus says, you know, the kingdom of God is more powerful than the kingdom of Satan, and the casting out of demons is proof, just a simple proof of that, a sign. And, you know, they've just been doing what they're capable of doing. But notice what he says about their reaction, verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. They're saying, look at me. Look what I can do. I can cast out demons. And they're rejoicing the fact that they've become somebody. He says, whoa, whoa, whoa. You need to rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. We tend to be selfish and self-centered, and we want to be somebody. And we lose focus of spiritual realities. That you can do great things in the name of religion and end up lost. He says, you need to rejoice. Your focus needs to be on the fact that your name's recorded in heaven. You know, you look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and as he talks about the judgment scene and their books with everybody's deeds, good and bad, written in them. But he makes this point in Revelation 20, 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Having your name in the book of life is critical in the last day. You can be one of the 70 and you're casting out demons, and not many people can do that. And everybody's looking up to you as somebody great, the great power of God. Remember Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8? He was known as the power of God before he became a Christian. You know, he was faking them. And then he saw Philip doing real miracles. Oh, you know, and fakers always, they're more amazed when they realize somebody's doing the real thing. And he became a Christian. And then he saw Peter and John the apostles lay hands on people and pass on the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, he wanted to buy the franchise. He offered money, fair deal. And Peter gave him a scathing rebuke, may your silver and gold perish with you. What has happened? His focus was wanting to be somebody, not be a servant of the Lord and enjoy the Christianity and the blessings of it. He wasn't blessed. He's going to be cursed and he's going to perish for this unless something changes. Well, your focus has to be on the right things, the fact that your name written in the book of life, and you have a great chance of being saved in the end. Well, look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, and it's one thing to do great things in religion, but there's more to it than that. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father is in heaven. Jesus says, not everybody's going to make it. You can sing hallelujah and praise the Lord all you want, but there's more required than that. Verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? He says, I'm going to hear it.
In that last day, there's going to be a lot of upset people. There's going to be many of them who perform miracles, whom I gave the authority to cast out demons and who cast out demons, and they're going to wonder why they're not recognized. Why did Jesus say, you know, you need to rejoice that your name's in the book of life? There's bigger things at stake in you achieving great things religiously. Verse 23. And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You get to focusing on what? On you, on self. And you achieve something in the church, or the church, you go to a great church, and they're doing all kind of things. Remember the church at Sardis in Revelation 3:1? You have a name that you're great, but you're dead. Everybody thought they were wonderful. Jesus' opinion, they're dead. There's no life, a spiritual life there. Nobody bothers to follow the rules. All the great deeds and all the demons cast out can't make up for the fact that you don't bother to do the rules. You practice lawlessness. You ignore them. And you're going to be blessed. Spiritual reality is, if your name is recorded in heaven now, it's important to do the things of God and not jeopardize it. Well, look at Mark 16:20. We're talking about casting out demons. And the purpose of miracles was only one purpose, was to point to God. That's their only purpose. It wasn't everybody looks at the person who does the miracles and you end up taking their focus off of God and on man. Somebody missed the point. In Mark chapter 16, verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. The purpose of the miracles was to confirm this is the word of God. Look to God. That's the purpose of miracles. Fellow cast out demons. Look at me. You're cheating God. You're robbing God. You're cheating people having a chance to see God. Well, look at Gospel of John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Nicodemus was part of the Sanhedrin court, the Supreme Court, the 70 who ruled Israel. He was the master teacher of Israel, verse 10. Oh, but he understood the miracle part. He understood it clearly. Now, he had a lot to lose if he started following Jesus, so he was careful. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus was doing miracles. And he had the message. There is no way man can do miracles unless God's working with him. He saw God at work. That's the purpose of the miracles. To point to God. You can do great things in the church. If you're not careful, everybody looks to you. And they can't see God. You're not going to be blessed. You're going to need to rejoice that your name is in the book of life. And that you're walking faithfully, just being a servant of that. Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 on that point. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. One simple rule will help all that. And the Corinthians, they're bragging in preachers because they're trying to get ahead of one another. And I'm of this preacher, therefore he started the church here. Peter started the church completely. Paul's a better speaker. Look at me. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Oh, that's important. That'll change everything you do in life. If you do everything so God gets the glory, I think you're going to be blessed. Do all for the glory of God. Well, it's one. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. Lots of times people get their focus off the Lord, they get their focus on themselves, and
they do a lot of good things for people. But they don't do it for the right reason. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. And if I give all my possession to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. You can give everything you've got to help the poor and the distressed. If you don't do it out of the right reason, God doesn't bother to look your way. Who's going to be blessed? The people that understand spiritual realities and how God sees them. Spiritual reality starts from God's viewpoint, from Jesus' viewpoint. And we're trying to learn to understand that. You go back to Luke chapter 10, and Jesus makes that point. He then starts talking about something about seeing things. Luke chapter 10, verse 21. And at that time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. I mean, they're rejoicing in the fact they can cast out demons. He's rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. And said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent, and didst reveal them to babes. Yes, Father, for thus it was well-pleasing in thy sight. God hides things from the people with the wrong attitude. The wise and intelligent, they can operate on their own abilities and they get by real good in this world. Even so much so, they don't need God. And he's thankful that God's able to hide the blessings, the will of God, the spiritual reality from those people. And somehow, the babes, the innocent, the humble, find it. Attitude's everything. Everything. Verse 23. And turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. They see it his way. They see what God's up to. And they're blessed. That what's important is God. And your relationship with God and you being recognized by God at the end. Now that brings up the second point this morning. And before I get there, the second point is about those who do the will of God in Luke chapter 11. Eileen, my wife, was looking at the Belize website and the Belize Central America and the work they do down there, and a church was trying to raise money to help send kids to school, elementary school. And so she decided to go over and listen to the pitch. She said it was really a good pitch, except the preacher saying over and over, we need to do great things for God. We need to do great things for God. Now, I've been to Belize a number of times, medical missionary trips. I've taught Revelation, Hebrews, Romans in the school of preaching down there. I know a little bit about it. And therefore, Eileen knows enough when she's listening to know something stinks here. The people make $600 a year, he said. But it costs the kids $200 a month to go to school. We need to raise that money. Well, I know for a fact that there are churches, denominations down there got free schools. I know in Belize City, the Church of Christ has a free school. I know the government will end up paying the teacher's salary as time goes on, as they get up to grade 8. All of a sudden, they'll take it over and pay the funds. So we're trying to raise all this money, and the purpose is we need to do great things for God. Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you will be a servant. Jesus in Matthew 18, the disciples are fighting over who's the greatest in the kingdom, and he calls a little bitty child to himself. You need to become converted and become like that child. That child's not self-seeking, self-serving. That child is the end of the line. You want something from the kitchen, they go get that. You want the remote, they go get that. They know their place. But Christians are servants. Trying to be useful to God. They're trying to do the glory of God where people can see God. And just like signs had a purpose, the church has a purpose to be a servant. If great things end up being done, great, God's still going to get the glory. God comes first. But you know, in Luke chapter 11, talking about doing the will of God, in Luke chapter 11, verse 27, 28. And it came about, while he said these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." I mean, you're a wonderful fellow and you're doing these great things, and your mother needs to be blessed. Verse 28, but he said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." You can give birth to a child, a child can become president, and he can do great things and do good things, but what? His name's not written in the book of life. There's a difference in what you achieve in life, whether it's eternal or whether it's just within this realm. Well, if you look at Luke chapter 12, verse 47, 48, since you need to hear the word of God and do it, Jesus tells two stories about a father and two sons. Number one, what if you don't know the will of God and you do something wrong? Well, you know, everybody's always hollering at those people in Africa. They didn't have a chance. Luke chapter 12, verse 47 and 48. And that slave who knew his master's will, it did not get ready or act in accordance with his will, shall receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but a few. If you do deeds worthy of a flogging, you're going to get flogged. And that's a painful term, where we take chunks of flesh out of your back because of what you've done. If you knew the will of the Father and didn't do it, you're going to get many lashes. There's degrees of punishment. You don't want to end up with your name not in the book of life. Now, y'all can't say you don't know the will of God. For you to do wrong is far worse than the person who never kind of just go on living their life without concern for God. They're going to do things that are wrong. And they're going to get flogged too. And they're going to be lost. You can't use it as an excuse. You notice the end of verse 48? And from everyone who's been given much, so much be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. Spiritual reality is that the Lord expects more out of you than does the world around you. When you do wrong, it hurts me far worse than the horrible thing somebody outside does, because I expect them to do it. But you and I, we've been entrusted with much. Our name's in the book of life, and we're on that road, and therefore we need to be striving to do what's right. And lawlessness makes a difference to us. We can get busy doing other things and forget about righteousness, and that's going to be a mistake. You know, you look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 through 32. You know, it's another a father talking to two sons. And it illustrates the struggle Christians have at times. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in the vineyard." And he answered and said, "I will, sir." And he did not go. We're talking about God. We're talking about his servants. He wants them to go work in the vineyard. "Oh, yeah, I'll do that." And what? You get busy, you get forgetful, and you never do it. That hits home. That is home. That's human nature. "Oh yeah, Lord, I'm going to do that someday." We don't say someday, but it comes someday. So one of the sons says he's going to do it, boy. "No problem, Lord. I'm going to do it," but he doesn't bother. Verse 30, and he came to the second, and he said the same thing. But he answered and said, "I will not. I'm not going to do the will of God, the will of my Father." And sometimes you and I are stubborn like that. We don't say it openly to God, but "I'm not going to do it." Whatever the reason at the time. And yet he afterward regretted it and went, whew,
in the church, we get ourselves trapped and we get ourselves struggle at times, and we're not about to do it. I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to this. But it's a good thing we got a soft heart where we can feel something. We can feel regret, remorse, that that's not right. I mean, you can say you're not going to do it, but if you can finally feel that's wrong and I need to do the right thing, there's hope for you. Verse 30. And he came to the second and he said the same thing, but he answered and said, I will not. Yet he afterward regretted it and went. Which of the two did the will of the Father? And they said, the latter. Sure. You say you're going to do it, but don't do it. You didn't do the will of God. Why should you be blessed? Why should God look favorable on you? You don't care. But yet you take the blessings. And then they got the second son. He's not going to do it. But he does. He ends up doing it. Everything's fine. Hard road to get there. And if you keep saying, I'm not going to do it, it may be the day where you don't want to do it and you're not going to do it. And you become hardened. And then it's too late. The middle of verse 31. Truly I say to you, that the tax gatherers and harlots will get into the kingdom of God before you. The kingdom of God is coming on Pentecost here in just a little while. And they hate the tax collectors. They hate the harlots. Those are sinners. And Jesus is saying, those people are sinners. But they have the ability to feel remorse and regret for swearing they're not going to do the will of God. And they'll more likely get into the kingdom of heaven before you church leaders here in Israel. Because they can be molded and moved. For they're wrong. They're just not hollering, yeah, I'll do it and go along. Verse 32, for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax gatherers and the harlots did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterwards so as to believe him. John the Baptist came and scared everybody to death. They thought Elijah was reincarnated. Everybody went out to him. He didn't come to town saying, we'll hold a revival. Won't y'all come? Will some of you come? They all went out. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, he said, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Why are you here? If you're going to be baptized, show me some fruits of repentance here. This has to be some sincerity in this thing. With the willing to do the will of God here. Not just because you're scared that heaven and hell is coming down on your head. And they saw the harlots, the people they hated and degraded, and the tax collector coming out to John the Baptist to be baptized by him. And the Pharisees looking at that, it didn't cause them any emotion. Their hearts were so hard. The leaders of the people of God. There's Jesus dying on the cross at the hands of the people of God. And they're laughing at him and they're mocking him. And he has feelings. Is there any other way? Can this cup be taken away? You know, nevertheless, thy will be done. Jesus was expressing his personal feelings, the fear of being separated from God. Is there any other way? But if there isn't, I will yield to the will of God. And God raised him from the dead. What Jesus preached, he practiced. And what he practiced did lead to life ever after. God raised him from the dead. Then Jesus in Mark 16:15 said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that I died for your sins, I was buried, I was raised on their behalf. He has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Is anybody listening? Is anybody wanting to do the will of God? Is the question. But he has disbelieved should be condemned. It is through being able to see spiritual realities. Just because most people don't see it, doesn't mean they're right.
do you see it's a question? Is there a book of life written? Is there names in it? You know what Moses knew when he was up on the mountain? He knew his name was in a book of life. He knew it back then. His people were down there with an idol, worshiping an idol. Aaron built it for them. So the high priest. And Moses is trying to intimidate and threaten God. Just erase my name from the book of life if you won't forgive them. You know how far that got? Get yourself down the mountain and tell him to stop that stuff. You can't intimidate God. I'll erase whose names I want to erase from the book of life. I'll put whose names in the book I want. You and I are serving God Almighty. And there are eternal things at stake. You may be doing great things in the church. But why are you doing them? For the sake of people who need it? Great. It's wonderful. And you can do them more than anybody else? Wonderful. But if you begin to think that you're somebody special, and that somehow, some way, God can... You forget about righteousness and that the laws have to be obeyed. And then on the day of judgment, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. How hurtful would that be to be a Christian all your life, but you didn't bother to do the will of God? The blessed are the people who see spiritual realities. It can make distinctions between human things and spiritual eternal things. And who can listen to the Word of God and observe it. That's the people whom are blessed. And I pray and hope that's us. You need to respond anyway. Won't you come as we stand and sing?